Bhaktaram yagna tapasyam savaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyampamam shantirichati. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material misery. The conditioned souls within the clutches of illusionary energy are all anxious to attain peace in this material world. But they do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. So, everyone in the material world wants peace. Of course, when we say peace, in India we say Shanti, Om Shanti. Isn't it? In India they say Shanti, Shanti, Om Shanti. So, Shanti, this peacefulness, is actually sought after by everyone. Just like even here in the inner city of Birmingham, people have their little house, their little garden. They want to have some seclusion in their small area. You will find that in each and every flat room and house, they are surrounded by things which are conducive for their peace and happiness. Everybody wants to be peaceful and happy. The reason that we emphasize peace is because everyone in the material world is disturbed. When there is disturbance, then it is not possible to be peaceful. Just like when there's too much noise, our mind becomes agitated. When it's too cold, we become agitated. When we're too hungry, we become agitated. When we're too poor, we become agitated. If there is what we call too much or too little, if there's too much heat, we become disturbed. If there's too little heat, we become disturbed. So we can understand that we are existing under certain conditions. These are called material conditions. So Prabhupada said, the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls. What is the meaning of conditioned souls? Souls that exist under certain conditions, isn't it? Now, these conditions, sometimes they're favorable. Matra sparshastu kuntaya, shitoshna sukhadukhataya. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, sometimes they're favorable. Sometimes we feel very happy that we found some favorable conditions. And sometimes they're not favorable. Dukkha. So this dukkha, sukha dukkha. We're very happy when things are sukha. Sukha means pleasure. When we are getting pleasure, then we feel very enlivened. If we are having pleasure, the mind becomes very satisfied. Just like many people, they take shelter of different types of pleasures. There are many, many different types of pleasures in this world. Some people, they take pleasure of intoxication. When they get intoxicated, they feel very good. They become jolly. The jolly, jolly sailor. Sometimes they call the jolly sailor in the pub. They're drinking good rum. Oh, they become happy. Then they can talk a lot. They sometimes want to dance. They want to tell their life story. They become very relaxed. Even if they go into the bar in a miserable condition, as soon as they've had a few good shots of rum, then everyone's their friend. Sometimes when people get intoxicated, then they want to buy everyone a drink. Hey you, have a drink. I'm happy now. Before I wasn't happy, now I become happy. Because I have some good liquor in my blood. So, the body is always giving suffering. This is the actual reality. As Krishna says, that the experiences of the body, sukha dukkha, but mostly dukkha, because sukha doesn't come very often. But dukkha is there always. You see, dukkha is always there, but sukha is not always there. So, if you are intelligent, you can study that this hostile environment, the material world is hostile environment, and this hostility is opposed to our happiness. Actually, it is just like if someone is hostile to you, their hostility may come in many forms. Sometimes you don't get on with your neighbor, and there's hostility between neighbors. Sometimes there's hostility in the family. Sometimes there's hostility amongst countries, isn't it? Even amongst countries there's hostility. So what is the meaning of hostility? That means enemy, isn't it? Enemy. When you have enemy, someone is your enemy, then they're hostile. So the material energy is the enemy of the soul. It's actually our enemy. But we are not thinking as enemy. This is called maya. Maya means that not this. We are thinking actually that somehow or other the material energy will bring about some state of happiness, peacefulness. We want to make some permanent settlement here. All of us, we want to make some permanent settlement. We want to sustain our existence. Not for a temporary time, for all time. If you ask anyone about their happiness, they would gladly say that they want happiness to be there all of the time. Isn't it? They're not simply wanting happiness to come between 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. Or between 5 and 6 in the evening. Happiness is not something that we want in short measures. We want unlimited. Actually, if there was some idea of unlimited happiness, then we would certainly be interested in such a proposal. So therefore, you find that in every level of human existence, in every philosophy, in every religion, in every actual intelligent proposition, there is some idea of gaining something. You see, we are always in need of gain. We are in need of help from outside. Always. We are always in need of help from outside. That is the meaning of conditioned life. Krishna says, Maya Vamsa Jiva Loge Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Mamasastani Indriyani Prakritistani Karsha. So the living entities are my part and parcels. They are in me and they are mine. But due to conditional life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses which include the mind. So what is the struggle? That we have to study. What is the struggle? The struggle is the interaction between the senses and sense objects. This is the great struggle of existence. We want to capture these objects of material life and bring them under our jurisdiction. We are trying to bring them within our jurisdiction in order to give some experience. You see, life, if you study material life is a life of inexperience. Inexperience. Just like when you're a child, you're very inexperienced. Now you're growing into 15 years, you have more experience, so you're feeling more confident. You don't need dad anymore. Hey dad, go away. I've had your advice. I'm fed up. 16, when the child reaches 16, 17, they know everything. Isn't it? By the time they're 20, they know everything there is to know. Because when they're young, they're full of inexperience. So they listen. You see, they don't have adequate knowledge. They don't have adequate situation. They're inadequate. So children can actually accept their inadequacy. They can accept their inadequacy while they're young. Because they know it's foolish to think that they can sustain themselves. They can't sustain themselves either by food, by clothing, by accommodation, by knowledge. So, we are born inadequate. We are born with inexperience. And actually, when we grow up, we are always trying to expand our experience. As Prabhupada said very nicely in the beginning of the Happening album, he said, the materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat who is forever inviting the fallen conditioned souls to associate with him through devotion or eternal serving mood. The phenomenal attraction is often found to tempt sentient beings to enjoy the variegated situation. So this temptation is actually coming through what? It is coming through the mind and the senses. We are always wanting to have higher experience of the mind, higher experience of the senses. We want, just like we are experiencing some taste, we always want to have better food. Therefore, there are so many restaurants, if you go in any city, so many restaurants. There are so many different experiences of taste. There are so many different experiences of smell. There are so many different experiences of hearing nice music. There are huge, big, mega, what they call mega. What is the meaning of the word mega? Mega stores. They want mega. Everything should be mega, very big. Because we want to always have more and more experience. So the material phenomena is often found to tempt sentient beings. Because we are sentient, because we are actually living conscious creatures, we want to have more and more sentient experience. We want to have more and more conscious experience. But we are trying to have conscious experience of an unconscious world. Matter is dead. It is unconscious. So the struggle is that this material energy is inferior. Inferior energy. And we are from a superior energy. Our existence is superior. So we always want, the struggle is to get onto the superior experience. We are having always this inferior experience. This experience. Even they call it inferiority complex, isn't it? We have a psychological, what we call inferiority complex. We have so much inferior experiences, we become full of it in our heart. So some people have inferiority complex, and there are others who have superiority complex. So these two things, superiority and inferiority, have to be studied. Because Krishna says, I have two natures, para-apar. I have two natures. Krishna is clearly defining in the Bhagavad Gita that there are two energies working. Now, unfortunately, in the material world, people are identifying with one energy. That is the inferior energy. They are very much engrossed in the inferior energy. Just like we are also inferior, I can understand that I'm inferior. My body's inferior, my mind's inferior, my senses are inferior, therefore I have a tendency to make mistakes, I have a tendency to cheat, I have a tendency to lack information, I have a tendency to be defective, and I'm subjected to illusion. So there's tendency to commit mistakes, tendency to cheat, limited senses, and the propensity for illusion are there in every single living creature in this world. Every single living creature. And you'll find that those who have more superior consciousness or superior activity, they are lording it over those with inferior conditions. So in other words, those who have superior condition, they are lording it over and exploiting those with inferior condition. Jiva jivasya jivanam. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that all different types of living entities, there are millions and millions of types of living entities. Those who are just like those who have legs, they eat those who don't have legs. You understand? So those who have the grass, they have no legs. They can't run away. Because they can't run away, the cow eats them. The goat eats them. They are also living entities. But they have very, very small amount of consciousness. Even Subhash Chandra Bose, he found that by tests, they found that these plants also have consciousness. But that consciousness is very, very small. Therefore, when consciousness is very small, then it is exploited by things which have more consciousness. And we can see that the human being, because he has the greatest amount of consciousness, he's engaged in the greatest amount of exploitation. The greatest amount of exploitation. He's exploiting the rivers, he's exploiting the land, he's exploiting the sky, he's exploiting one superior country, is exploiting another inferior country. One superior individual is exploiting another group of inferior individuals. And this is the actual... Everywhere you go, wherever you go in the world, you will find that superior people with superior intelligence are always exploiting those with inferior intelligence. Just like this microphone is inferior. It's inferior because I can use it for my use. You understand? I can use it for my use. The microphone is not using me. I am using it. Isn't it? If the microphone was using me, in other words, if the microphone was dictating to me what to speak, you'd be surprised, isn't it? Well, the microphone is telling me what to speak. I have to speak. But because the microphone is inferior, therefore it is utilized in my service. Of course, we are utilizing in Krishna's service, but we are utilizing in my service because it is inferior, just like wood. There's so much wood in this room. Why is wood being utilized for our purpose? Because it couldn't run away. You see? If the wood could run, if trees could run, it'd look funny, wouldn't it? All these people trying to cut them and they're running in the forest, hiding behind rocks. Huh? Then cutting trees would be a very difficult thing. But because the energy is inferior, dull matter is always exploited by superior matter. So therefore Krishna says, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and ego, they constitute my inferior energy. But above this there is superior energy. So you find that those who have good intelligence and good mind, they are utilizing the water, just like this building is made up of brick and water, mixed with fire, you see? Because the bricks, what is earth? Earth is inert, inanimate. So therefore we can mold it into certain forms and shapes that we desire. We can make big skyscraper buildings, we can make very beautiful houses, we can bring in so many different things, plaster, glass, we can have very nice curtains on the wall. None of these things could run away. They didn't run away because they don't have the intelligence, they don't have the sentient ability to protect themselves. So therefore, if you go on a further level, you'll find that in all of these houses, they are bringing in dead goats, dead cows, dead sheep, isn't it? To put in their belly. You see? They want to put them in their belly. So, if every house you go around, you'll find some dead fish. Isn't it? They go to, what is it? Asda, big supermarkets. Rows and rows of chopped up bodies. Chopped up bodies. So many bodies are there. But you don't find human body. Do you find human body? I don't think you find human body. Because the human will fight back. You see? He can fight back. He's too intelligent. If I want to eat human beings, it will be a very difficult task. But to eat a cow, to eat the sheep, the goats, is not so difficult because they're very stupid. Actually, if you have a slaughterhouse, they will queue up for killing. They queue up, the sheep are waiting. Next one, next one, next one. Then while they're waiting to be slaughtered, they're munching little grass. Isn't it? They're taking last little nibble before they go to their death. Because they don't have a superior development of intelligence or consciousness. So consciousness should be studied, that the more development of consciousness, the more there's tendency towards exploitation. So this verse of Srimad Bhagavad Gita is very important. Bhuktaram yajna tapasyam. Here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is describing that a person in full consciousness, you see, there's different levels of consciousness. That should be clearly understood. That the different levels of consciousness are not full. Nobody has full consciousness. The mind cannot ascertain fullness. If you study, try to enter into your mind fullness. It can't go in. There's nothing full. You understand? Your mind does not have full knowledge. It's not conceivable to have full knowledge. You can't even entertain the idea of full knowledge. You see? So if you study, you'll find you don't have full knowledge. You don't have a full anything. Everything is partial. You have some partial knowledge. You have some partial happiness. You have some partial... In other words, you have a bit of everything. You may say, I have money. But you don't have all the money. You may say, I have knowledge. But you don't have all the knowledge. You may say, I have a life of experience. But you don't have all the experience. So therefore here, a person in full consciousness of me. So therefore, Krishna is indicating here that the only time you can have full consciousness, actually, a person is by becoming Krishna conscious. You see? Becoming Krishna conscious. Because Krishna is the full thing. Therefore, the Vyasadeva is saying, Lord Brahma is also saying, Janmadasya. Janmadasya means the full thing. The whole science of Vedic knowledge is to study the full thing. That is called the absolute truth. We use the word absolute truth. What is the meaning of absolute? Anybody know? Absolute means the full thing. There can't be anything outside of absolute. When you say, use the word, that's why people said, they use it in English language, absolute. I'm absolutely sure. You see? I'm absolutely sure I saw that person before. That is not the proper use of absolute. This is a wrong idea. Because in the material world, there is nothing absolute. Everything is relative. Everything is relating to our senses and sense objects. And the deficiency of those senses constitute the deficiency in knowledge. If you have imperfect instruments, you have an imperfect result. You can't have imperfect instruments and have a perfect result. The body itself is imperfect. The result of our being here in this body is also imperfect. We have imperfect happiness, imperfect knowledge, imperfect existence. We have imperfect strength, isn't it? We are always requiring help from outside. So what people think is we all get together and then together, collectively, we become perfect. Therefore, you have social philosophies, materialism, capitalism, socialism, communism, altruism. These are all these little creatures getting together and saying, okay, I don't have the perfect picture. I don't have the perfect solution. So if we all get together and do the same thing, then we can collectively achieve perfection. Perfection may come in the form of living in what they call perfect society. This has always been the great search of life. To find Aristotle, what is that now? All of these big Greek philosophers, isn't it? Plato, What was his word for the society? Perfect society? Huh?
For the perfect society.
Yeah.
Utopian.
Utopian. He had the utopian, but there was another word.
The republic?
Yeah, republic. The republic. If you study the philosophy of the republic. All of these great philosophers who are trying to find the perfect solution to all of the problems which face the conditioned souls in the material world. So therefore, this constant search is going on since time immemorial and will go on till the end of doomsday. There will always be search, because we're very, very tiny, because we're very inadequate. We require adequacy. We require some help from outside. That may come in the form of philosophy. It may come in the form of culture, education, social systems, whatever it comes in. The idea is to find fullness, completeness, absolute perfection. So Krishna says, a person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities. So Krishna is saying that he is the only benefactor. He is the only benefactor. Now that is a very, very difficult thing to comprehend. Because we then think that I will be deprived. If he becomes the only benefactor, where's my benefit? Where's my benefit? Isn't it? That's why the idea of God is always a very difficult thing for the conditioned soul to accept. Because if God is benefited, what's the benefit for me? Therefore, in every religion, the idea is you go to heaven. You see, there must be reward. You give money in charity, you help the poor, you dig wells in the villages. And at the end, you go floating up to heaven. And in heaven, you have these beautiful gardens with nymphs and beautiful apsaras, and you have beautiful music. You can dance and nice liquor also. They have good bars up there. Not like here. Here the liquor can keep you happy only for an hour or two. There you can drown in the liquor. And you can have what is called alexia, or whatever they call it. This amrita. This nectar. Everybody wants his nectar. So therefore in every religion, the idea is that yes, let God benefit. Because we have great difficulty to let God benefit. We don't want God to benefit. Why should he benefit? But if he does benefit, make sure I get something back. You see? So therefore, most religion, as it says in the Bhagavatam, Savai Pamsam Paro Dharma, Yato Bhakti Yad Hoksache, Hoitaki Aparti Yata Yayatma Supasidati. This Bhagavat Purana is teaching that what is the highest perfection religion, or the highest Dharma, Paro Dharma, is by that which one attains to transcendental loving service unto the glorious Lord. You see? That is considered by Bhagavad to be the highest level of perfection. That the Supreme Lord should completely benefit from one's activities. And then it says, Ahoitaki apratiyata, which is very strong, because it's saying Ahoitaki, there should be no motivation or interruption. Now, to take away motivation from any living creature is very, very difficult. Because for billions of lifetimes we have been motivated. We are always motivated. There is always this underlining principle of benefiting from a situation. We want to benefit. And therefore, in most religions, this bhakti cult, or this idea of ahaitaki apratiyata, is very difficult to comprehend. But then the Bhagavad says, ye atma supersedati. So what is the meaning of atma supersedati? You see? The same thing is said here. Gyanfamam shanti richati. Gyanfamam shanti richati. Now the Bhagavad is saying, ye atma supersedati. Here it is saying, Gyanfamam shanti richati. Both are using the word. Here the word that has been used is shanti. Shantin. Now, what is the meaning of shantin? Does anybody know Sanskrit? Shantin.
Peace.
Huh? Yes, but it's even more correct. It says relief from all material pangs. You see? Relief from all material pangs. So, what Krishna is saying, that if you recognize me as the supreme benefactor, if you recognize me as the actual jagna, tapasan, if you realize that all of your, because the material world means sacrifice, it means austerity. As soon as you come here to sacrifice, you have to sacrifice, you have to suffer. What is the meaning of sacrifice? Sacrifice means some suffering, isn't it? If you sacrifice, suppose I give you 500 pounds, I'm suffering. Your happiness is there, my suffering is there. Just like sometimes a man gives a nice present to his wife. So he likes very much, the wife is very happy. She says, oh, you shouldn't have, my darling, bought me such a thing. And he's thinking, yes, you're right. It cost me so much money. So Prabhupada said, friendly thief. The wife is the friendly thief. If someone comes and picks your pocket, you become angry, you hit him on the head, call the police. But if your wife takes your wallet and empties it, you go, oh, my wife is so nice. How she has emptied my wallet. Again I'll go and fill it up. You see? Again I'll go and fill it up so she can empty it again tomorrow. You see? So, friendly thief. Children also come. Daddy give me this, daddy give me that, mommy give me this, mommy give me this. So they're giving. So they're emptying your pocket. So they are the benefactor of what? Austerity, jagna, tapasya. Everything is tapa. In the sense that if you want to eat, you have to get the food. If you want the food, at least you have to grow it or you have to go to Asda or something, pay some money. You must sacrifice something for that pleasure. Your pleasure is only coming because of some sacrifice. That is the law of karma. For every action, there's equal to opposite reaction. So therefore, in order to gain, we have to give. You see? In order to gain, you have to give something. If you want a nice salary at the end of the week, you have to get up at 8 o'clock, go to work, clock in at 9 o'clock. Good morning, boss. I'm here. Oh, you come on time. Very good. He looks at his watch. 5 minutes late. Don't be late tomorrow. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I won't be late anymore. Please, please don't sack me. So we become like dog. Dog means wagging tail. If you see dog, what is the meaning of dog? He takes shelter of some master. Then when master comes, the tail is wagging. Like he's waving. Hello, master. I'm here. So be kind to me. So we are always actually performing different types of jagna, different types of sacrifice. But because they're related to our body, we don't mind. Our body is benefiting by this sacrifice. If we work very hard, we can have a nice car, we can have a nice family, we can have nice suit to wear, we can have nice bank account with Barclays or NatWest. We can look at all the noughts that we have. How many noughts are there? Today, yesterday it was 500, now today 600. We become very happy. So we want that we should have benefit. We want benefit. But Krishna is saying, I am the only benefactor. I am the only benefactor. So what does that make us? It makes us thieves. You see? Just like if you are working with a bank, the bank is the only benefactor from your work. You're not supposed to benefit. It's not that every time someone deposits £10,000, it goes in your wallet. Isn't it? If you work for a bank and someone deposits 10 million into the account, if you take even one 10p, you can be thrown out. Isn't it? Even one 10p. But you can say, look, it was only 10p, he gave me 3 million. What are you complaining about, you people? You're fanatics. Isn't it? You can say like that. I'm here since 10 years, I'm collecting billions on your behalf. So I stole a few hundred. What is the problem? No. You are a thief. Because the only benefactor is the bank. They must benefit from your job. As soon as you check in at 9 to 5, they must benefit, and only they. That's why if you want a break, you have to get special permission. Isn't it? For going for lunch. Now they have this business, they want to puff smoke. So you have to get permission now to go I want to puff. Isn't it? So, because your time you're enjoying your food, the time you're enjoying your cigarette, that is not benefacting the company. That is not benefacting them. So therefore, they have to give you special license. You have to have special license. Otherwise, you're sacked. If you keep disappearing every 20 minutes, you're gone. You won't come back. Get him out. We'll find someone else. So this is the same thing. Krishna is saying, I am the only benefactor. There's no other benefactor than me. This is very strong. That means all of the demigods, all of the patriarchs, all of the kings, all of the controllers on every level, from the highest to the lowest of this planets in the universe, Krishna is the only benefactor. No other avatar, no other incarnation has spoke like this in the history of any culture. There is no person, if you study Christianity, Greek philosophy, any philosophy you study, you will not find any one individual who says that I'm the only benefactor in the whole creation. Krishna is saying that every single thing within this universe is for His pleasure. So, therefore, that establishes that Krishna is saying, I am God. I am the Ishwara. Ishwara Parama Krishna, Lord Brahma says. That He is Parama. Parama. What is the meaning of Parama? He is supreme. So Krishna is saying, therefore, because I am supreme, you have to serve. You have to serve. You see, everything can be, if you like, quantified. We're always trying to measure. We want to measure. Just like I'm trying to measure myself against what? I'm measuring how good-looking I am in the mirror. What is a mirror? For measuring, isn't it? That's why as you get older, you don't look in it so much. It's not so much to measure. You see? We're always measuring. I want to measure how rich I am. I look at other people. Have the next-door neighbors got a better car than me? So have they got more money than me? Have my friends got more than me? So we're constantly measuring to see what quantity we've got in this world. So that's why one has to understand God. Without understanding God, there's no question of understanding oneself. There's no question of understanding material energy unless you understand the creator of the energy, the sustainer of the energy, the destroyer of the energy. So therefore, that is the meaning of Krishna consciousness, to understand how God is Bhuktaram Yajna Tapasyam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Sarva Loka, Sarva means all, Loka means all these planets. I am Maheshwara. I am the Maheshwara. What is the meaning of Maheshwara?
Supreme Lord.
Huh? Yes, I am the Lord of every planet. Every single planet you're seeing in the sky, Krishna is the Lord of that planet. So then he says, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. This is very nice because he is first of all using very strong language that he is the only benefactor, he is the only enjoyer, he is the Lord of all the planets. Then what is the meaning of Suridam? Suridam. Surid. Suridam.
Friend.
Yeah. He says, and the well-wisher of all living entities. So therefore, this thing people don't understand. Mostly they understand God to be the controller, the big Allah Akbar. Oh, Allah is coming. And He will destroy all of these companies. Kill them all. Ah. So the idea, yes, is there, but they don't know Suridam Sarvabhutanam, that Krishna is the well-wisher of all living entities. Why is He the well-wisher of all living entities? Because He loves everyone. We don't have any love for God, but He has unlimited love for us. So Suridam Sarvabhutanam, that means that He is the well-wisher. The benefit that we are gaining is on account of His desire. You see? The benefit we are gaining. The benefit. Just like people are all, what is everyone doing? Getting benefit. Everyone wants benefit. We need benefit. We need food. We need air. We need light. We need so many things. So we are taking benefit. We are taking benefit from everywhere because we require benefit. That's why they have the welfare benefit system, isn't it? The government. They're giving welfare benefit. Because everyone requires some benefit. You may be invalid. You may have some medical needs. You may have some social needs. So government are there to provide. Because the government are great. You don't expect the next door neighbor to provide you health care. Do you? It's not that you're expecting your neighbor should give you health care and provide you free meals on wheels. But government you can go to. Why? Because government is very great. You see? If the government is not so great, if you go to a country where the government's not so great, you won't get anything. You see? So we see that when a country is great, then there's great benefit. So when God is great, then there is great benefit to everyone. That's why if you study, you'll find no one is going hungry. All the animals have big, big bellies. In Africa, there are hundreds and thousands of elephants. You won't find one skinny elephant. Not one skinny elephant is there. I've never seen. Have you ever seen a picture of a skinny elephant? The elephant eats 100 kilos every day. You can't. How many kilos you're eating? Huh? 2 kilos maybe. He's taking 100 every day. There's no skinny elephants. Big, big fat belly. So therefore, you find even the birds are flying. You don't find skinny birds. Isn't it? The birds also look nice. Big, fat birds. These crows. You never see skinny crows. And they're crying because they didn't have a good dinner. No. As soon as they wake up, food is there. They're filling their belly. So Krishna is providing because He is the well-wisher of everyone. He is providing everything for everyone. But because in the material world we have this independent tendency, therefore we are the masters of our suffering and our enjoyment. As Prabhupada used to say, man proposes and God disposes. So man is proposing what he wants by his activities. Just like I am acting in a simple way, so I will get simple reaction. I am acting in a horrible way, I will get horrible reaction. I am acting in a good way, I will get good reaction. Just like if you go to a sweet shop and you buy, let's say, 10p of sweets. Someone else buys 100 pounds worth of sweets. The person behind the counter should not be blamed because they've given that person more sweets than you. The person is giving according to their spending power. So in the material world, you come here, and if you are misusing your money, if you're misusing your energy, if you're misusing, then you will become poor. And if you're using properly, you can increase like that. So therefore, this Suridham is very important. So Krishna says that I am the benefactor, and well-wisher of all living entities. So one who accepts Krishna in this light, then he becomes Shanti. He becomes full of freedom from all the material pangs. So people want to know how to become free from all the pangs of material life, but they don't know what is the formula. They don't know what is the real formula. Just like your body requires food. And if you decide that I'm very intelligent, that I can put the food in my ear, because this mouth is not able to take quickly enough. So I'll put in the ear, I'll stuff through my ear the food. While it's going in the mouth, more can be going in here. You see? Because after all, here's a hole and here's a hole, isn't it? So if I put in this hole and that hole, I'll benefit. No. The body is made very scientifically, that you have to give the food through the mouth, because the body is a complete arrangement, a machine which is completely arranged in its own way. So, but the benefit goes to the stomach. So the benefit is going to the stomach. When the stomach gets the benefit, then it distributes to the rest of the body. That is called Purnam. Om Purnam Ata Purnam Idam Purna Purnam Ujjatate Purnasya Purnam Madaya Purnam Eva Vishishate. The personality of God is perfect and complete. And because He's perfectly complete, all emanations from Him they're also perfect and complete in themselves. So all of these emanations that we have in this creation, they're all perfect and complete. This planet has perfect facility to sustain the life of all the living creatures on this planet. Isn't it? If you study, you came here, where did you come from? Tom, where did you come from? No, before Yorkshire, where did you come from?
No.
You don't know, do you? Huh? Were you outside in a spaceship? You don't know. You don't know where you are, do you? And isn't it funny, you landed here in Yorkshire and everything was there. Immediately the breast milk from the mother is there to give your tummy nice milk, to give your bones calcium, to give you proper nourishment. So the mother is nourishing you, and you have taken shelter of your mother when you're born, and she has everything there. So similarly, this planet has everything to sustain you from the moment you arrive in this world to the moment you leave this world. Isn't it? Isn't it funny? You have a big nose, you can get all this air, capture the air. You have big ears, you can capture sound. You have a nice size mouth, you can capture nice prasad. You see? So, but if it wasn't there, suppose you had a big, big mouth, but there's no food. Then you'd be in trouble, isn't it? Even if your mouth was this size. But if there's no food, nothing to go in, then you will suffer. Isn't it? If you have ears the size of this room, but there's no sound, what is the use? So how wonderful arrangement is there? Your instruments are there from the moment you're born, in the womb of your mother, all the instruments are there. Then when you come out, there's all the arrangement for those instruments. Perfect arrangement, perfect arrangement. Just like your eyes may be very nice eyes, but if there's no light, how can you see? But light is there, big, big light, not like this light, big, big light. So that wherever you go, you can get benefit from the light. So therefore, this is Purna. Everything is completely arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no need, you didn't bring anything with you. Nobody comes in this world with any extra arrangement, isn't it? Did you bring anything extra with you? You didn't bring anything, you see? And while you're on this planet, you will not add anything to it. And when you leave, you will not take anything away. You see? Perfect. There's no human being that adds anything to God's creation. There's no human being that brings anything into this creation. And there's no human being that takes anything out. But while we're here, we utilize everything. You see? We utilize everything. We're very expert at manipulating, exploiting, cheating, trying to make everything our possession, trying to make everything our arrangement. So we make big fancy juggling to make it out that we are supplying. Just like this Asda or these big, big supermarkets. They're not supplying even one grain of rice. They don't have the ability to supply even one grain of rice. They're all thieves. They are very expert in stealing God's creation, putting it on their shelves and then charging you money. But they themselves have not produced one single grain of rice. All of the chemical scientists in the world, all the big companies, DuPont, ICI, cannot produce one single grain of rice. You see? They may be able to mess around with it, with their DNA or with their genetic engineering, but they can't produce. No company has been producing one single thing which is not already there. So therefore, we can understand that Krishna has made perfect arrangement for us. But the only thing that he's asking in this verse is to recognize him. You see? He's only asking one thing. In this verse, he's only asking one thing, that we recognize. Nothing else. He's not asking that we do anything extra except recognize. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is simply the process of recognizing God. That is all. We're not big, big philosophers. We're not big, big industrialists or technicians. Simply, Vaishnav means to recognize. To recognize that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme controller, and the supreme friend. Prabhupada said, if you recognize these three things, your life is perfect. You see? You don't have to be a big, big jnani, a big, big scholar, a big, big industrialist. You simply have to recognize three things. That Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme controller, and the supreme friend. Then your thieving mentality will go. Your cheating mentality will go. All of these demonic mentality. Nimam duskritina mura prapadyante naradama. All of these will go. You see? They'll all go. All of these demonic propensities will go. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is the science of studying Krishna. That's all. And therefore, what is that perfection? Satatam kirtayantama. Krishna says in Satatam, always chanting my glories. Rihavrita, with great determination and faith, they worship me with devotion. So therefore, Krishna consciousness means, first of all, become acquainted with the science of Krishna. And then surrender to Krishna completely. Okay, we'll stop here. Is there any questions at all? Anyone have any questions?
Krishna says that he's the enjoyer of sacrifices. So someone is doing a sacrifice but it's not aimed towards Krishna, then how does he enjoy that?
The thing is, if someone does a sacrifice that's not aimed towards Krishna, then that person's an illusion. Because ultimately, they're in ignorance. Anyone who is doing sacrifice that's not aimed to Krishna, it is done in ignorance. But in actuality, nobody can benefit from sacrifice except God. Now we can benefit in the relative sense. Suppose now you do a sacrifice for me. You perform some work and I pay you some money. So it looks like you benefited from me, doesn't it? But in actuality it's not. I've stolen from Krishna to give to you. Just like if I steal some money from him and then give it to you, who has given you, him or me?
Him.
Exactly. Not me. So therefore, this is the illusion of Maya. Everyone is seeing the relative concept. The relative concept means that they're seeing within relationship to their body, within relationship to their senses, they're observing how things are working. So then they're thinking, just like someone is thinking, if they go out into the ground and put seeds in and they work hard in the earth, that they have brought their own benefit. But it's not true, because if the rain is not there, if the sun is not there, if the seed is not potent, and Krishna said, Bijaham, I am the seed-giving father. So in actuality, the benefit of anything in reality can only be to Krishna. But in the material world, because the living entities are trying to be separate from Krishna, to enjoy separately from Krishna, therefore they are trying to enjoy the benefits independently. Just like the hand. The hand has to serve the stomach. Otherwise the hand will die. If your hand doesn't give the food to the stomach, your hand will die. It's only a matter of time. It could be a week, it could be 2 weeks, maybe you could survive 3 weeks. But your hand will die. Suppose your hand decides not to give. So the point is that if the hand suddenly thinks to itself, why should I give to the stomach? I could eat it before the stomach. Then chaos. So similarly, we should understand, Ishavasyam idam sarvam yakincha jigajam jigat tena jitena bunjuta magrita akashasvidana. Everything animate and inanimate that is within this universe is owned and controlled by the Lord. See? Everything animate and inanimate. So whatever you're using, which is animate or inanimate, is already owned by someone. Krishna says, I own it. So if anyone else is benefiting from it, they're cheaters. They're actually rascals. You see? Rascals. That's why a devotee does not do anything which is not beneficial to Krishna. When we talk about evil or good, in so many religions there's this idea of good and evil. But actually evil means anything separated from Krishna. So that thing cannot bring good. And that's why the all so-called, all the solutions of the problems of life, they are all evil-generating solutions. Like capitalism. It's full of evils. You see? How many people have died in the name of capitalism? How many people have died in the name of communism? Because it has intrinsically an evil aspect. Anything you do in the material world to solve the problems of life creates evil. Creates some kind of evil. Because your benefit causes other people suffering. Your solution is not proper. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya is the only one who has given... He has given what? He has given non-evil producing solution to life. There is no evil produced from Krishna consciousness in any shape or form. If you study it very carefully, you'll find that Krishna consciousness cannot produce any single trait of evil. But everything else can produce some evil. So, therefore, when we say that someone else is benefiting, that person is in ignorance, because in reality, you can't benefit. Unless Krishna benefits, you can't benefit. You are part and parcel of Krishna. You are the servant of Krishna. You can't benefit. That benefit is only... Yes, it's there. You may say your body benefits, but you're not that body. So your body may benefit, but you're not benefiting. Just like if you feed a dead body a big dinner, what is the benefit? Huh? If you put a dead body in a big house with beautiful decorative curtains and beautiful bed, there's no benefit. So the dead body is not benefiting. The thing which is in the body, that nobody knows. So nobody knows what to benefit. Just like I love my wife and she drops dead. So the body is there. So if I suddenly decide to throw the body in the fire, someone will say, why are you throwing your wife in the fire? That's terrible, isn't it? Because the same body you loved and you looked after for 25, 30 years, now you want to burn it. But then you say, no, something is missing. That thing which is missing, you never met. You never knew what it was, because now it's missing. You don't know where it went. You don't know what it is. You see? You never actually saw that thing. The very thing which is missing. So that's illusion. That means you are relating to something illusionary. Because you are relating to the body, but that person wasn't the body because the person itself has gone on. So in the material world, we are relating to matter, but we don't know what is the principle behind matter. You see, we don't know what is the principle. So when you talk about giving benefit, you can't really talk about giving benefit unless Krishna is involved. There's no real benefit. There's only evil. But that may sound fanatical, but it is true. You may give some benefit to the body, but unless you give someone Krishna consciousness, that is not producing. Just like if I feed some alcoholic on the street and he goes in and buys some more alcohol, what is the benefit? I've given him some benefit, what? To get more intoxicated. So no, it's an evil-producing benefit. It's a little subtle, but if you study it, it's there. Any other questions? Or...
I just got one question, you know. Buying stocks and shares, is that actually gambling?
Yes.
It is.
Yes, anything you don't earn is cheating. Cheating propensity. You see, gambling means cheating. You want something without actually performing sacrifice. So, what is stealing? Stealing means to get something quick and easy, isn't it? You don't steal unless you can get it quick and easy. Nobody steals if you work for 1 year to steal. You want something very quick, very easy. So this is a type of cheating propensity. You see, cheating means that you want to avoid the effort. You want to avoid the effort. So this speculation, you may buy stocks and you speculate some money there. And then you may gain or you may lose. But what is the difference? If you put it on a horse, the 330 in Colchester or Doncaster, then the same thing comes. You put £5,000 that he comes winning, he loses, you lose your money. You put £5,000 on DuPont, they go up, you win. They go down, you lose. I don't see any difference. But because it's a company with a big office and shining lights, that makes it bona fide. You see?
See, in England there's at least 1 million people who own shares. And yeah. Maybe more indirectly through pensions and isn't that. So you can't avoid it.
Yeah, people don't avoid it, but that money will not give them any real benefit. It's not produced through the proper way, you see. If you gain anything, it should be through sacrifice. You have to sacrifice something. Now that is just like if you buy a lottery ticket. You buy a lottery. So you can say, okay, it was a great austerity, I had to buy it in a shop. But to get that money, you see, when you get that money, you're getting all the karma with that money. You see? Because karma is very subtle. Suppose I'm a butcher and I've just killed 1,000 cows and I give you the money from that killing of those cows. What are you taking from me? You're taking the karma. You see? Because the karma, why did I kill the cow? Because I wanted money. Now I've given you that money, I'm giving you the blood of the cows. Now, is that going to make you happy? You see? Just like if someone went out and they were murdering little children, and because they'd sold the organs of the children by murdering them, they accumulated money and gave you half. Would you take that money? No, why?
Waste of money, isn't it?
Yeah, the principle is wrong, you see? The principle is wrong. So therefore, when you're taking money from this cheating technique, when you win the lottery, you win 10 million. But where is it all coming from? Butchers, murderers. You don't know where it's coming from. Who's giving it? Every single pound carries the karma with it. That's why sadhus will never take money from anyone in the strict renounced sense. They won't take because they don't want the karma. They say, go away, take it. So we can only take for Krishna. We can't take for ourselves. Just like one person was giving money to Prabhupada and they were getting the money from drugs. So Prabhupada said, this is very bad. That I didn't know. You're making this money from drugs. It's very bad. So he said, will I get any benefit from giving to you? And Prabhupada said, no. You'll not get any benefit. But he was giving big amounts of money. $100,000. But no benefit. But Prabhupada says your reaction will be minimized. Because you've given to Krishna. So the suffering that you were due on that thing will be minimized. Because you haven't actually enjoyed the money, you've given it to Krishna, but you won't get any benefit. Because that's not how we serve God, by stealing and causing misery to other people with drugs and things. So all money has relationship with activity. So if you put stocks and shares on the, like now, you could maybe buy some nice shares on Asda. So every piece of meat Asda sells, you'll have to suffer for that. So what good is that money? Suppose you gain £20,000 on Asda. That means every single piece of meat that was sold in Asda, you've now got a share of that. Do you want that?
Well, computer technology.
It doesn't matter how you gain. It's cheating mentality. The mentality is cheating. It's not. It's gambling. You're gambling. Because what is the meaning of gamble? Gamble means maybe, maybe not. It's not good.
Some people say that crossing the road is a bit of a gamble.
Yeah. Everything is a gamble. But the point is that when there is gain, what we call gain in the monetary sense, you know, just like we don't eat food cooked by anyone. Now, sometimes I'm very hungry. There's lots of nice restaurants. And even they may give me a free meal if I tell them I wash dishes or something. But can I go in there? No, because when I take the food, I'm taking the karma with the food. I'm taking the karma. That means the person who is cooking that food, his simple activities are coming on to me. And that's why you should never take anything. Whatever you take from anyone, you should pay for it very quickly. Otherwise you take the karma with that thing. That's why gift. When you transfer gift, you transfer karma. So generally sadhu, the idea of sadhu in India, they wouldn't take things. Like sadhus They won't take... Lord Chaitanya wouldn't meet with King Pataparuda. Pataparuda was very wealthy, powerful, and a great devotee. But he said, no, no, I won't even see his face. Because he carries so much reaction from being at war, and being a king, and being a materialist, pound, shilling, and pence. So, material energy is so powerful, if you touch it anywhere, you will get contaminated. You see, wherever you touch it.
That means you can't really avoid it at all then.
Only by sacrifice. That's why Krishna says, I am the only enjoyer. I am the only enjoyer of your sacrifice. So that means in the material world, 50% you have to give to God. Rupa Goswami has studied all of the Vedic literatures and he came to the conclusion, 50% must be given to God as householder. Brahmachari must give 100%. Just like we are Brahmachari. We can't keep some money in our personal account. That is bogus. We don't have any money. We use money for Krishna if you give. But householder, he's allowed 50%. Not more. Prabhupada said that 50% is your umbilical cord to Krishna. So when you cut that, you cut the cord.
Can we give 50% from stock and shares?
But you won't get any good benefit, but you won't get bad benefit. Because it's cheating money. You can give. Because Krishna owns everything, so whatever you stole, give it back. Isn't it? You're the thief, not him. He's not the thief. So if you give him back his money, even if you got it by some illicit means, but you're returning. Just like if my television has been stolen and you found it in the dustbin, does it mean I shouldn't take it back because it was found in a dustbin? It's my property. I must take. So how you give God back, that you have to give, not how it comes. You have to give. It's his property. Quickly now, we finish up.
In the six exchanges, there's the offering and the accepting of gifts between devotees. Is there only karma involved in those exchanges?
Devotees don't have karma because it's all loving exchange in service of Krishna. But if you're giving to Brahmacharini gift because you want twinkle from her eye, then you may get some exchange. Be careful. So that's why you can give to Brahmachari, but not Brahmacharini. Isn't it? Six loving exchange, you can't do with Brahmacharini. So therefore there is some restriction. But if you do amongst Brahmacharis or householders amongst householders, there's no problem. Because these are all exchanges. But Krishna is the background. Whatever we have, we got from Krishna. We don't think we got ourselves. So we don't forget Krishna by taking or by giving. Okay. What happened? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Gopremana.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.